Jaikur, and were taking it easy for a while. The temper of rumor began to change. It now carried a subtle vibration suggesting the great spider at the heart of the web had begun to stir. It would be a long time before any concrete news caught up, but the general consensus was that we should get going right now and not dawdle along the way. Runmust discovered that a man answering Narion's description had been seen lurking in the vicinity of the shop operated by his now pseudonymous offspring, Sugriva.
"The man does have a weakness. Should we kill Sugriva while we're here?"
"He's never done anything to us.
His father did. It would be a reminder to him."
"He doesn't need reminding. If Narion is so dim that he thinks we're done with him now, let him. Just let me be there to see the look on his face when we catch him again." Narion had stood out in Jaikur, because the city was still very nearly a military encampment. People would remember us as well, if asked during the next few weeks. I roamed around looking for my childhood a few times, but nothing that I remembered, people or places, good or evil, remained. That past survived nowhere but within my mind, which was the one place I wished that it could die.
Chapter 56.
The practical rules of company field operations resemble those obeyed by stage magicians. We would prefer our audience saw nothing at all, but we do realize that invisibility is impractical. So we try to show the watcher something other than what he is looking for, thus the goats and donkeys. And south of Jaikur, all new looks and identities for everybody, with the enlarged party breaking up into two independently traveling families, plus a group of failed southern fortune hunters dragging home in despair and defeat after having had their spirits crushed by the Taglian experience. There were quite a few men of the latter sort around. They had to be watched. Many were not above taking advantage of weaker parties if they thought they could manage it. The roads were not patrolled anymore. The Protector did not care if they were safe. Doge and Swan, Goda and I, formed the advance party. We looked weak, but that old man was worth 4 or 5 ordinary mortals. We had only one scrape. It was over in seconds. Several blood trails led off into the brush. Doge had chosen to leave no one dead. The land became less hospitable and rose steadily. In clear air it was possible to look ahead and catch the faintest glimpse of the peaks of the Dent de Preche, still many days' journey south of us. The paved road ended alongside an abandoned work camp.
"They must have run out of prisoners," Swan observed.
The camp had been stripped of everything portable. What they ran out of, his enemy's soul-catcher thought, were worth an investment in a road. She could always find people she doesn't like and use them up in an engineering project. And she had done so on the western route, which was being followed by the rest of the company. They would have paved footing all the way to Tirant de Prash. Their road, and the waterways serving it, had remained under construction until just a few years ago, when the Protector evidently decided the Kialunay Wars really were over, that it was not necessary to make life easy for the great general and his men, and bullied the Radisha into no longer spending the money. I wondered what the Radisha's perspective would be. I suspected she had believed she was in charge right up to the moment we disappeared.